for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November 28, 1986. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar. Maxwell White of Toronto, Canada is the speaker of the afternoon.
Well, we've had some wonderful teaching so far, and there's going to be some more before the week's over. Every service is, I'm sure, will be different than the previous service, but with each service there will be a place for help and deliverance and along with the teaching. That's what we believe in here at the campground. We believe in practicing what we preach, and we believe in following it with whatever is being taught to follow up and do and do it. Amen. And last night, we did it. Brother Maxwell followed through with what he taught, and there was help and deliverance, and this morning likewise, and this afternoon again. Brother Maxwell White comes and teaches, then he will follow up and close with deliverance in whatever area that he teaches on. And with so many of us here, it's just practical to have what we've come to know as a mass deliverance service. It just isn't practical to try and pray with people individually, or we'd be here the rest of the week just praying, never quit, just praying with those that are here. But there's help and deliverance as we enter in to the ministry of the Word of the Lord, as we enter in and desire in our hearts to receive that which we've come for, the Lord will see that we're satisfied in that particular area. I don't ever want to be satisfied in everything that the Lord has. I want to continue to be unsatisfied, so I'll reach out always for more. And I hope everybody else is the same way in that respect. But it's a privilege to have Brother Maxwell White back here this weekend and have him minister the Word of the Lord to us. And if you don't have any of his books, well, he's got some wonderful, wonderful books that the Lord has helped him to write over the years. And as long as they last over there, we don't have as many as we should have had, I don't think. As long as they last, help and get what you can. And then if we are out, we'll mail them to you later, because we keep getting a new supply all the time from Brother White. But anyway, make yourself available of them. But it's a privilege to have Brother White come now and minister the Word of the Lord and bring deliverance to his people. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Miller, for your kind words. I'd like to thank Brother and Sister Miller for their kindness for me while I've been here. And it's always a joy and a privilege to minister the Word of God. I was thinking when they were taking up that offering, where could you get information on what we are talking about here anywhere else in the world but in a few places like this? It's amazing. No wonder one long ago said, what is truth? What is truth? Well, that's what we're uncovering. It's all in the Bible. If it isn't in the Bible, we don't believe it. But an awful lot of people believe what isn't in the Bible, and they'll fight you if you tell them it isn't. Oh, well, they said, it doesn't mean that in the Greek. I want to talk about a little bit more about our position, who either want to be delivered or perhaps better, stay delivered. To stay delivered is one of the most important things that you can learn after you learn you've got to be delivered. I prayed for a lady some years ago in Ontario. She came 160 miles to see me. She sat in a chair. I began praying for her. The demons began pouring out of her. She fell off the chair onto the floor. They poured out of her. Finally, they quit. And she said, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And we were all so happy. We drove back to her home. 3 weeks later, I got a letter She said, they're all back. Now, that's sad, and I want to try and show you, teach a little on that thought this afternoon. Our responsibility if we are delivered. Reading from 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and I like this bit. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the, for the Texans, to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The prerequisite in the Christian walk is humility. And our brother was pointing out this morning, a lot of these men, and I've known many of them personally in the past years, some of them are on TV now, they get well known, and then they find out how they can take a big offering. And they used to call it lifting an offering. Today on television, they plead, they beg, they offer everything to get bigger and bigger offerings. Money becomes their objective to do the work of God. Now, we can't do the work of God without money, but it says in the Bible there are no beggars among Christians. You don't have to beg if you're a Christian. You've got it made. I'm so glad that this super faith teaching for material prosperity is collapsing. I'm so glad. I don't have to ask my Father to bless me because he's my Father. Can you imagine a mother or father not wanting to bless their children? Can you imagine a child going to its father and saying, look, Dad, I haven't got a shirt to wear. My shoes are worn out. I'm going to pray for you. No. Our Heavenly Father knoweth how to give good things to us. I thank God I have never, in all my Christian life, asked God for any material favor unless it was obviously necessary for the ministry. I stand here, I have three homes, a car, a wife, four children, and four television sets, and I've never asked for any of them. I have a little home down in Florida where I go in the winter. It's a mobile home, about 60 foot long. People say to me, why don't you ask God for a bigger one? I said, what do I want to do that for? It's more for my wife to vacuum. Now listen, it's got two beds which are very comfortable, a nice living room, a kitchen, a bathtub, a little garden, a hi-fi and a television. What more do I want? I don't want any more. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. And these people who say you've got to have a Cadillac, if any of you got one, may God bless you with it. It uses too much gas for me. I've got an Oldsmobile. That's fairly modest. Humble yourself. Now, I've heard people pray, "Oh, Lord, make me humble." Well, you better watch out. If he does, it hurts. He may take away from you what you got. But you humble yourself under submitting to the hand of God. Now, I like this thought of the hand of God. What is the hand of God? Has he got a hand? Because if somebody's got a hand, well, it's nice to shake. It's nice to take hold of. It gives you a sense of safety. As I watch the children going around, they put their hand in Daddy's hand and walk along so confidently, it gives them security, comfort, guidance. And you see the little children trotting along with their mummy or daddy, holding their hand. In Psalm 98, we find out something about this. And I like it. Psalm 98, verses 1 and 2. "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." Now this has not yet been fully fulfilled. The arm of the Lord is the Holy Spirit, reaching all the way down from heaven, and the hand of the Lord is Jesus. And Jesus is there, and remember this, Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That's a marvelous theme. I preach on it sometimes. When Mary received the conception by the Holy Ghost, inside her womb was a little bicell, and that little bicell contain the entire mind of God. Can you imagine what happened if someone had aborted it? We never would have had a Savior. The right hand of God is always there for us to hold on to. I had a, you know, you get these, I'm sure, but I was meditating. I do a lot of that. I suddenly realized my Heavenly Father is my Father. My own personal Father. And I am his own personal Son. Jesus is the Son of God. He was born that way. But I was reborn a Son of God. And so Jesus and I are brothers. And Heavenly Father is my Father. Doesn't he want the best for me? And I like the writer of Hebrews who said that if, of course this doesn't happen much in the States any longer, but if your child doesn't behave itself, you're supposed to use the rod. Ouch. My Father does. He knows exactly how to chasten us that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. Remember this, and I mentioned it yesterday. Jesus is coming back, and he's not coming back to a rebellious kid. He's not coming back to someone who does what they want, when they want. He's coming back to someone who has learned to humble themselves under Jesus. If Jesus said it, that's the end of the matter. If I say anything to my son sometimes, who's the pastor now of my old church, he said, "Dad, give me a scripture." And that's a good place to be in. "Dad, give me a scripture." But you know, you give some people scripture and it makes them mad. They don't want to hear it. I've had top leaders of the charismatic renewal, top leaders of Pentecostal denominations come to me and say, Brother White, you know perfectly well a Christian can't have a demon. These people are leading millions of people wrongly. There's one well-known man, won't mention his name, he was with me in Lima, New York, and I cast out demons at the Ealing Bible College. And afterwards, he told me that Christians didn't have demons. I mean, what can you do? These are leaders. But when we humble ourselves under the Word, the living Word, we get the results. You know, I've been in the deliverance ministry for 38 years. I've been written up about in the New York Times and described as the pioneer. That may or may not be true. It doesn't worry me. I'm still doing it. But I have been amazed that in that 38 years, I'm not speaking to 50,000 people here today. They're not interested. They are afraid. And yet, when Jesus in Mark 16 gave the five signs that should follow those that believe. Now that's everybody. If you are a believer and you have been baptized in water, Jesus said to you, Number one, that's its importance, you shall cast out demons. Number two, you'll speak in tongues. Oh, you've had lots of that, thank God. But number one, you shall cast out demons. Get rid of the devil before you get the Holy Ghost in. But we haven't been doing that. We're beginning to learn. It's when you humble yourself under the Word of God. I've read these scriptures. They didn't mean anything to me years ago. I was brought up in the denomination and didn't practice it. May I tell you how I came into it? Have you ever heard me anyone here heard me tell you how I came into it? Good. It's all new to you. But to me, this is vital. In 1947, a Roman Catholic came into our church. He had the worst form of asthma that it is possible to have and still be alive. Every night, he would spray his throat just to breathe. And by every evidence, he only had a short time to live. He came to me, the expert. All I had ever been taught to do in Bible school was to anoint with oil, lay on hands, and pray. That's all I was taught. I was never taught how to pray. That's important. I was taught to pray. The rest was left up to me. So this fellow, whose name is Fred, came forward to be prayed for. So I anointed him with oil, laid my hands upon him, and prayed, O Lord, please heal this man for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall I tell you something? Jesus healed that man on the cross. See, I was asking Jesus to go back to the cross. I was out of phase. Well, I prayed several times. I shook my hands. I'd seen some Pentecostal preachers do that. Yeah. That doesn't do any good. He was not healed. Now, this is embarrassing, but thank the Lord. God had his hand on me. In our church was a Scottish lady who had been in the early outpouring of the Spirit in Scotland, around about 1910. And there she had seen a man, and thank God for him, who used on rare occasions to cast out demons, one of the first I've ever heard of. She said, "Pastor White, why don't you try casting a demon out of Fred?" Brother, was I embarrassed. I was the pastor. I knew nothing about demons. As far as I knew, they didn't exist. And this is where tens of thousands of pastors are today. So I backed off. But she didn't. Thank God for some women. She came at me again. "Have you done it?" I was learning. So I went to my wife, who's been with me right from the beginning. I said, "Honey, this woman is troubling me." And she was. No mistake about it. I said, "She's telling me to cast demons out of Fred." And I said to my wife, "What shall I do?" Listen, wives. She said, "Why ask me? Why don't you ask the Lord?" I was going through an operation now. So I went to my bedroom. I shut the door about me. That's scriptural. I said, "Lord, this woman is troubling me. Please tell me what I should do." The Lord gave me a word of knowledge and said, "Go and do it." But true. And in all my difficulties in life, I've done that, and the Lord has always told me what to do. The word of knowledge is a gift of the Spirit, and it works. So I told my wife. Now, the next thing to do was to get the cooperation of this man called Fred. I mean, you don't want to go up to someone or ring them up on the telephone and say, "Hey, I want to cast demons out of you. Is that okay? You try it and see." Some will say, "Thank you." And they're the ones you can deliver. So this man had great confidence in me, thank God. And I said, "Fred, on the telephone, I want to try an experiment with you. I want to try casting demons out of you. Demons of asthma." "Sure," he said, "when do you want to do it?" "Well," I said, "how about coming around tonight?" "Right." So he came round, went into a basement room, the church, sat him down there. I sat here, my wife sat here. I remember there was no books on it. I knew no one who'd ever done it. I only had the Lord to guide me. What should I do? So we began to sing choruses about the blood. I had good teaching on the blood. So we sung, "We're under the blood and all the blood of Jesus," and for about 5 or 6 minutes. I thought, well now, I've done that part. Whatever happens, I should be safe. I'm under the blood. Then I looked at Fred, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of asthma, come out of it." He began to go, like this. I'd never seen anything like it in all my life. One sentence. So I continued, "Yes, come out." So I leant over the side of the chair, and from his mouth came streams of mucus. Fortunately, it was a linoleum floor. That was before they used to carpet places. Then the Spirit of God said to me, I had to be taught by him, "Now the next one." I said, "Okay, now the next one. Now come out in Jesus' name." Well, this went on for about half an hour. And we had a large pool of slime on the floor.
when I'm telling you these things, I wish I could preach to all the Pentecostal churches in America on this.
I said to my wife, would you go get some handkerchiefs? So she came down with a large pile of handkerchiefs. We use Kleenex now. But so she fed these to this man who mopped his face from all the slime. Very soon we had a pile of handkerchiefs and a pool of slime. After 1 hour and 10 minutes, it stopped. He got up and he stood to his feet. He went like this. He said, praise God, I can breathe for the first time in my life. That man is 75 years of age now and well. But God was preparing me. I guess if you're going to take someone who we're going to use fairly extensively, you've got to put him through the reliability trials. Can a Christian have a demon? 2 days later, absolutely out of the blue, a deacon in a full gospel church called me up. He'd been worshipping in our church and liked it. A despairing voice came over the phone saying, Brother White, if you can't help me, I am going to commit suicide. Who ever heard of a full gospel Christian wanting to commit suicide? I said, Brother, I can help you. You have a demon. I knew that by what I'd seen 2 days before. And I was full of confidence now. Boy, I was raring to go. I said, come round. So he brought his wife round. My wife and I were there. Poor wife. She said, well, I think I need prayer too. Well, living with a case like that, I think she did. So this is even more extraordinary. Hold your seats. We did the same thing. We sung about the blood. And then there he was. I said, you foul suicide demon, I charge you in the name of Jesus, come out of him. So he went up in the air and stayed there. Now come on, some of you Pentecostal people. What would you do if you saw that? You would run out of the room terrified. There's a man suspended in midair by the power of levitation of demons. He came down again quietly. Then they began to come out. Went on for 50 minutes, beautifully. Then all of a sudden, this is the first time, remember, January 1948. No! Huh? I said, you will? No! Shut up! Have you ever heard a spirit-filled Christian use that expression? You have? I wonder where it comes from. Well, I was a senior officer during the war in the Air Force, and I don't like anybody telling me to shut up when I'm in charge. I got mad with the devil. I said, oh yes you will, in the name of Jesus, come out now. So we got on fine, another 10 minutes. All started up again. No! Shut up! So I thought, well, now this is interesting. Here am I conversing with an invisible demon. You foul spirit, never be polite to them. You foul spirit, how many more are left? We've been going an hour and a quarter. No! I said, you'll tell me in Jesus' name the truth. You can even cause demons to tell you the truth. Did you know that? He must have come from Bronx, New York. He said, Twani. Very good. We knew what we were dealing with. 20 more demons. And one by one, they came out easily until we got to 19. I check them up. I do get 10 more out. How many more?
10. I get 5 more out. How many more? 5. We were on target. I got down to the last one. How many more? 1. And that was the captain. And he took another 20 minutes to get out. He finally came out, and that was it. But there's a sequel to the story which fits in with what I'm talking about today. He backslid badly. There's no guarantee because you've been delivered you won't backslide. Sometime later, he phoned me up in despair. He said, "Brother White, are you there?" I said, "Yes." "You've still in the same deliverance business?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I told the Lord that if you were there, I believe I could get help." I said, "What's the trouble?" He said, "Well, I'll come round and tell you." That man used to drive down to town in his car. And on a throughway, it was pouring with rain. There was a man stopped at the bus stop. And so out of compassion, this man stopped his car and said to the man, "Would you like a lift downtown?" The man said, "Thank you." So got inside this car, and this is where the backsliding began. The newfound friend offered him a cigarette, number one. He took it, and they smoked together. Then he used to meet him every day and used to bring him back. Number two, backsliding, they used to have a drink before they came home. Number two, backsliding. Then after a few days of this, his newfound friend said to him, his name was Earl, he said, "Earl, I love you." He was a homosexual. And those two men, that deacon who had been delivered, he had a wife and 3 beautiful children, we'd been in their home, shacked up with this man in one room as a homosexual. And after 1 month of this, he came to his senses and phoned me up. So I said, "Okay, let's pray." And I began to pray and began to rebuke these things. And they, without me asking, I don't ask demons their name. I don't go for that. They began to name themselves lust, filth, murder. So I knew what I was dealing with. One by one, lust, filth, and murder began to choke out of me. It only took 20 minutes this time. He was completely delivered. Second time. He went back to his wife who took him back. Last I heard of that man, he was going on just fine. His business was prospering. And everything was well. I haven't heard from him for some years. But I tell those two stories to show you that deliverance is real. But if you ignore the word of God afterwards, it is to your own peril. Because you will get 7 times worse. Did you hear that? In fact, when you have been delivered, you become more of a target for demons than you were before. And tomorrow, God willing, I will teach on the blood. Because that is your only safety. But you've got to know how to apply it. You've got to understand. That's how I came into the deliverance ministry. I then started to write books. I was the only one doing it. My book on the blood has now sold 600,000 all around the world. I've traveled all around the world, teaching deliverance, seeing people delivered, and yet I've done my best. Others have picked it up. I taught Derek Prince. I taught this man who wrote Pigs in the Parlor. Others have picked it up. It's spreading more quickly than it was, as God is preparing his bride for the coming of his son. But still, the big difficulty is to get people to humble themselves under the mighty
hand of God. Bible study does not become priority number one. You should read the Bible studiously every day. And even then, be careful at some of the books that you may read, because some of them have a lot of error in them. Be very careful. You can go off on a tangent, and before you know where you are, the devil will give you the tangent as the center of the truth. If the Bible says it, believe it. My old spiritual father, to whom I owe so much, I think I mentioned this yesterday, used to say, you find one piece of the jigsaw puzzle that doesn't fit, pull the whole thing down and start again. And so it is with all the doctrines of the Bible. You see, we are supposed to be saved. Now, most people don't even know what the word saved means. I went up to a Salvation Army captain one time. I was on an aeroplane. I said, "Hello." I said, "Are you saved?" "Oh, yes." He said, "Yes." I said, "Good, so am I. If you know what it means," he looked at me and said, "Yes." I said, "It means I'm going to heaven when I die." I said, "It doesn't." That's a way to get popular when you're a preacher, you know. The word saved, in that context, comes from the Greek word sozo. S-O-Z-O. Call that a word. And this is what it means. It means to be made whole. He that believeth and is baptized shall be made whole in spirit, soul, and body. Now, and if only we could understand, that's why it says in this psalm here that I read, "The Lord hath made known his salvation." Every time somebody gets healed, every time someone is delivered of a demon, the Lord is making known his salvation by his right hand. Look, you know we are told to lay hands on the sick. This is interesting to me. Our hands are typical of his hands. In fact, I would go so far as to say, no difference. "The works that I do," said Jesus, "you will do also by your hands." Now, in me, in you, every spirit-filled Christian who's had the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost are nine compounded gifts. This light here has in it nine compounded colors. It begins with infrared, and it finishes with ultraviolet. And all those colors, you see them in a rainbow, put together form what we call white light. And white is not a color. Jesus is the light of the world. In him was life, and in him was light. In fact, right at the beginning of Genesis, the first thing that God created with his word was light. Now, in my belly is light, and nine compounded gifts. One of them is a plural gift. It's called gifts of healing. So for every sickness, there's a corresponding gift. So for all the sicknesses in the world, I've got the gifts in here. Are you following me? You all have. They're all there. So when I approach a sick person, I lay my hands on them. Why? Connect up with heaven. Jesus said, "Out of your belly shall flow." There's an arm that reaches down. The umbilical cord of God reaches from the river of life. That's in Revelation. We don't have to turn them all up. Revelation 21, the river of life, pure as crystal, flows through the paradise of God. All the way from that river of life in heaven, the umbilical cord, the long arm of God, reaches down right into here. You get connected up when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's why you have to live clear and pure and true and clean. That's why you have to apply the blood for your cleansing and the washing of the water of the Word. And when you do that every day, you wash yourself with the water of the Word and you claim the healing and protection of the blood. Now, the taps are turned off until you lay hands on the sick person. Have you ever noticed, Oral Roberts feels it, I often feel it, many of you no doubt do, but when you lay hands on a sick person, you feel the opposition? You feel that? That's Satan's opposition in the sickness, coming against the Holy Ghost in your hand. So I bear down on these things, like a football player. And I lay hands on them, I said, in the name of Jesus, sickness, come out. Of course, if it's a spirit of infirmity, they may start coughing, or they may start shaking, or they may fall to the ground. I'd just like to give you a word here. They are not slain in the spirit. God doesn't kill anybody. Get that out of your vocabulary. They are knocked down by the power of the Holy Ghost driving the devil out of them. And sickness is of the devil. Many times with people who are maybe lame. I remember my eldest boy married a girl and she said to me, would you go and pray for my mother? She was an evangelical Christian. Okay, so I went down to her home, found this poor woman locked up with arthritis. She was about to go into a wheelchair. And I explained to her, I said, you have never, probably never have heard anyone like pray like I'm going to pray. Can I pray for you? Yes. So I laid my hands upon her. I rebuked the spread of arthritis. All the power of God came down the umbilical cord into my tummy, out of my body, down my arms, through my hands, into her. And as I prayed, the spirit went out of her. Then I said to her, she was sitting right here, now I said, put your arm up. I can. See how we get into habits? She was thinking of the past, not the present. So I, without asking, I got hold of her wrist, and I did it slowly. I got her arm and pulled it up, up, up. She said, ow, ow, ow. I ignored all that. Up, 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 up. And then I put it down. And I said, do it yourself. She did it. It went up, more her fingers went out. And I said, do it with the other one. She went up, more her fingers went out. You see, many people, when they are prayed for, either in the casting out of demons, or the healing of the sick, which is so often caused by demons anyway, you must begin to act your healing now. If you couldn't walk, you begin to walk. Now, it may be halting, it may be hesitant, but as you keep on doing it, you will walk perfectly. Remember that. The final issue of all divine healing is to do what you couldn't do. You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda, been lying there for 38 years. He had no leg muscles. He was waiting for the waters to move, and then someone would carry him in. Remember that in John chapter 5? Jesus came along. Jesus showed apparently no compassion. First of all, he said, do you want to be made whole? That's a very important question. Many elderly people don't want to be made whole if it means their kids stop fussing over them. It's true. Do you want to be made whole? He did. So Jesus said, rise up. Now that was the very thing he could not do. He didn't have the muscles to do it. Every doctor in the country would have said, don't be so stupid. You lay there and die. Rise up and walk. Well, he did. But it got worse. Now pick your bed up. Well, what, Jesus, why didn't you pick it up for him? You're a Christian. Pick it up yourself. Now we'll walk away together. He carrying his own bed, and Jesus just walking along beside him. That, my friends, is faith in operation. And we want to see a great deal more of that in this great latter revival.
Amen.
We haven't got too much of it. It's one thing for any of us to cast a demon out, but it's another thing for you to act as though the demon has been cast out. And you've got to live afterwards as you've never lived before. I am astonished, even in our own church. We have about two-thirds of the congregation on Sunday night as on Sunday morning. Where are the people? I didn't ask. I did ask one lady. Oh, missed you in church tonight. Yeah. Well, you said, you see, some relations came to visit us. Well, I said, so what? Well, she said, they didn't want to come to church. Well, I said, well, you could have come, couldn't you, and left them behind. She'd never thought of that. Neither do I think she wanted to. See, Jesus comes first. I remember my wife had an uncle during the war. And he was fairly well off. And when my wife got filled with the Spirit, he got scared to death. And then one day, it was a Wednesday, we had a prayer meeting. He phoned her up. We said, I would so like it if you could come round and have a cup of coffee with us. My wife said, Uncle, I'm sorry. I'm going to a prayer meeting. He was absolutely mad and cut her clean out of his will. Was it worth it? You see, friends, there is an apparent price to pay. When you are 100% from the Lord, getting 100% results from Him, there is a price to pay. When I got filled with the Spirit, none of my 16 cousins would have much more to do with me. My uncles were scared of me. My friends ceased to visit me when it was known what had happened. I got baptized in the Spirit and spoke in tongues. There's nothing worse. It's like a bomb dropping next door. It scares people to death. You didn't worry me. I never have been worried by those things because I see the marvel of the promises of the Bible. Many preachers my age will be in their grave. You see, friends, it pays to serve the Lord.
Amen.
He will demonstrate unto you His salvation. Read the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. And dare to act as though they were true.
Amen.
I remember one time, I enjoy myself. Several winters ago, in Canada, we got a terrible blizzard, and the snow was coming that way, not that way, this way. And to go to this town where I was due to minister for the full gospel businessmen, town of Peterborough, we had to go on a throughway. So on the radio, no one move out. Too dangerous. My own son got on the phone and said, Dad, don't go. I said to my wife, I'm going anyhow. Now, you can call me nuts if you like, but I enjoy being nutty for the Lord. So we started out, got on the thruway. It was, you could hardly see where you were going. And I was following the car in front of me. Bus was in the ditch, cars were in the ditch. Finally, we came to an absolute stop. Then I saw some cars going on the shoulder, going off the highway. I didn't know where we were, couldn't see. So I thought, well, I'm going to do that. I felt a prompting of the Lord. So I edged out, went along and I came to a cutoff. Cutoff went under a bridge. I followed the road, came into a small town. This was Friday night. I went up to a gas station. I said, where is this? Told me. Well, I said, I can't go on this journey anymore. Oh, he said, why don't you go over to the Salvation Army place over the road? They may help you. See God moving here? So I went over to the Salvation Army, and I said, I'm a preacher. Is there anyone here could help me? I'm stuck for the night. Lady came out and said, did you say you were a preacher? Yes. You got your wife with you? Yes, is she? We said, I'll take you into my home. So I went into this lady's home, gave me a nice bedroom, gave me breakfast, wouldn't take a penny. Snow stopped. I went on my way. I got to the place in Peterborough, which was about just over 100 miles from my home. They'd had no meetings the night of the storm, and I was there right on time on Saturday for two meetings. I got there because I went with God. Another time, I was to speak to the full gospel businessmen in Upper New York State, and it was snowing. So my wife came with me, so we went anyway. Well, we got on the New York freeway, started the snow worse. So then I got behind a large truck with lights all over the back. I said, well, I'll follow this truck. And you know that truck went off the cutoff where I was due to go off? And as I went off this cutoff behind this truck, there was the hotel where I was to speak. I tell you, these the world would call miracles, but they happen if you put your trust in God. He will show unto you His salvation. Life becomes interesting, providing you have got a clear conscience before God and man that with all, and I repeat, all your human limitations, you are still doing your best to serve the Lord. Amen. Is that long enough? I'll be speaking on the blood tomorrow. Now, just let me ask this question. Is there anyone who feels they could be more dedicated? Yes, there are always some. I'd like you to come up and we'll pray a prayer of renewal dedication. But make it sincere. Don't let the old devil tempt you and pull you back from it. Get back in the old ways. It's lovely to serve God today. And what is coming is absolutely so wonderful that God will require us all. You'll have to raise the dead, cast out demons, and heal the sick. And it's going to be a pretty full-time job. So get ready for it. Okay, would you come up? I'm going to do two things. I'm going to pray for you all to have a deeper dedication. That includes myself. Then I'm going to rebuke and bind any spirits that you have or you think you may have. A lot of people don't know they have them. I was astonished when Brother Miller said he got delivered of something this morning. I don't know whether he even knew what it was. The devil is so sneaky. Look at them coming up. They want more of God. That's the whole purpose. Living for God. Coming under the hand of God. The direction of God. The guidance of God. The protection of God, which we'll speak about more tomorrow. I thank you for coming. And any back there, I'm sure you can hear my voice, you can join in this if you like. I'd like you to repeat these words. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We have heard your word. And we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We promise you we will obey your word. We will go where you send us. We will do what you tell us to do. And we will love everybody. We rededicate our life to you. Bless us. Bless our children, and our friends, and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to rebuke any spirits that may be troubling you. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, that wonderful, wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Do you hear that, Satan? Jesus. I come against you, Satan. I come against evil spirits troubling these people, whether on or in. I come against you, Satan, you tormenting, foul devil. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. And I put you under my foot. And I charge you now, in the name of Jesus, be bound, be bound, be bound, be weakened, be weakened, be weakened. Hear the name of Jesus and be bound. And now, having been bound, having been robbed of your strength, I command you with the authority of the Son of God, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Leave them. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. You are rebuked. You are rebuked. You have no power. I've taken it away from you in the name of Jesus. You are defeated. You are defeated. Come out. Come out. Come out. Go. Go. Good. Go. Go. Praise the Lord. There will more come out. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's it. Go. Good. Good. Amen. Amen. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's right. Good. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. That's it. Praise the Lord. Come out. 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 Very good. Devil's defeated. Devil's defeated. Devil's defeated. Devil's defeated. Devil's defeated. Praise the Lord. Any more left of you, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out.
David.
Come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the victory. Every foul evil spirit is rebuked and bound. Come out of the mold. Come out of the mold. In the name of Jesus. 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 Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. By the laying on of hands and the prayer of faith, I command Satan's power in this life to be broken forever. Loose in Jesus' name. Loose in Jesus' name. Good. Praise God. Loose in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out.
Come out.
Come out.
Come out.
Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise. Praise.
That's good. That's a lovely noise. Keep it up. It's a lovely noise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I went off well.
Come against the spirit of suicide. There's quite a few people in here that have a pistol.
You want me to turn this machine on? Oh, it's on.
That's on. It's on.
Now, Father, I come against any spirit of suicide. We've talked about that today. You foul spirits of suicide, in the name of Jesus, I come against you. And I bind your power and your intention. You shall not do this thing. I charge you now in the name of Jesus. Suicide, go. Leave the people and leave the building. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you will go.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, let's praise the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill all these areas. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing for us. I praise you for it. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. I thank you, Lord, for filling every area of our vessels with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here. I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area, Lord. We praise you this afternoon. I bless your name. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your presence in our midst. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I bless your name, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Mighty is the Lord, greatly to deliver. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I praise your name, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We praise you today. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Holy is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts and greatly to be praised. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah.
Jesus is his name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Well, we need to sing a little bit here and praise the Lord. Nina's going to get... Lord, we just ask you to strengthen Nina's voice and renew her, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you,
Lord. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and love the Lord. Let's just love the Lord, love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and love the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just love the Lord. Oh, love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and love the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBC www.bibleschoolonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.